The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Have we heard any more news about this Jackapoo that's on the switchback? Report a little over half an hour ago. There's a dog missing in the area. Bruce, a 7-year-old black and grey Jackapoo, escaped a homestay property in the area. Nervous and difficult to catch, so apparently the canine rescue is out. They've got a drone up to see. If you see Bruce or can safely catch him, call 454416. Where are you, Bruce? Today, it's going to be Hop Tune, eh? 2 weeks today, the schools break up for half term. 2 weeks on Sunday, the clocks go back. It's all happening. 11 weeks today, by the way. 11 weeks today, not that far away. It'll be Boxing Day. Right, any thoughts you want to talk about today? By all means, do get in touch. And Mark's with us, first of all. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Andy, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it's that time of the week, isn't it? It's Friday, so we're all footloose and fancy free.
Yeah, but you've got to come to work on Sunday, my friend, haven't you? So it's not all roses for you this weekend.
Well, there we are.
Right, listen, you know, this bit's business in the Middle East, isn't that a good thing? You know, that there's finally a little bit of peace and stability, hopefully, just round the corner.
Well, it will be. I mean, if they could sort Sudan out as well and the Yemen, that'd be great as well, because nobody ever talks about them.
No, but I've got something to tell you now that might top everything that you'll hear this weekend.
More important than the Gaza ceasefire?
Potentially. Depends how you look at it, mate. I was in Tesco's this morning getting my usual weekly shop and what have you. Guess what they're selling? Hot cross buns.
Oh, well.
Now, are they 6 months late or are they 6 months early?
We'll never know.
No, but I tell you who might. I think my old mucker, Juan, will probably have an opinion on this because he knows a lot about stuff. I think Juan's the one to ask. If anybody should know what on earth is going on at Tesco's with hot cross buns, my old buddy Juan will be the one to ask.
Not even Mr. B's used to sell hot cross buns this early.
No, exactly. I mean, I had to do a double check, I'll be honest with you. I thought to myself, now, are these some sort of a Christmas thing? No, quite clearly, hot cross buns, and the date was the end of this month.
Well, I mean,
so it's not as even, you know, they found a container full somewhere. They've actually manufactured them now. Again, it's like I said, are they early or are they late? Is something going on that we don't know about? Is the world about to come to a grinding halt?
But the thing is, in all seriousness, Mark, why? Why would they bother to do that? What's the big idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know about yourself, Andy. I mean, I like a good hot cross bun. I don't mind. I like them toasted with so much butter on that, you know, it all dribbles down the front of your shirt and you have to chuck it away. I do like a good hot cross bun, but are they taking us for a ride? I mean, we've already had the Christmas stuff out in the middle of the summer. Now they're putting Easter stuff out. It's not even Christmas yet. It just seems very, very strange, the whole thing. And like you said yourself, if you went back 20, 30 odd years, you literally had to wait until the week before Christmas to see the Christmas stuff in, and the week before Easter to see the Easter stuff in. Now it just gets mixed up. Any time of the year, it doesn't matter. They'll just fire stuff on the shelves because they know we're a sucker for it.
They've got this. I think the marketing strategy is throw enough at the wall and see what sticks, isn't it?
Exactly. If you put enough of the stuff out there, somebody will buy it. Then they'll tell someone else. And before you know it, you've got some idiot coming on Manx Radio saying, guess who's selling hot cross buns?
Well, and apparently Malcolm tells me, Malcolm 695 says, and they're in the co-op as well.
I don't know what the world's coming to, Andy. All I know is I will look forward to listening to your fantastic show on Sunday.
Oh, jolly good. Okay. All right. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Bye-bye, mate.
All right. It's 11 minutes past 12, and Adam's on now with us. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, that's good. I'm just ringing up about climate change and geoenergy today.
Yeah, okay.
And I was wondering, why are so many people ringing the man online who seem to have a real bee in their bonnet over climate change? You know, climate change is a matter of physics. Julian was arguing last week that methane doesn't matter. Methane is a more powerful greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, but there is much less of it in the atmosphere. And if you increase the concentration of either carbon dioxide or methane, then it is a matter of physics that the heat retention capacity of the atmosphere will increase, and it will therefore get warmer. The International Panel for Climate Change publish a report into climate change every 4 or 5 years. And originally they used to talk very broadly about a warming planet without much regional detail as to how climate change was going to impact different places around the world. But more recently, there's been a drive to move forecasts from the global to the regional scale. And this has been made possible by rapidly improving modelling of the climate system, which now includes feedback to the system from changing soil carbon flux and alterations to the global biosphere. Europe's glaciers in the Alps have seen record ice loss over the last year. Greenland's ice sheet is flowing at an ever faster rate. And the reduction in the summer ice cover in the Arctic between 1970 and today is phenomenal. So why are people still questioning whether it's real or not?
What about the people who say, Adam, these things happen, they always have, and records only go back so far?
Well, the records go back to millions of years, Andy, because geologists can interpret the climate change based on the oxygen isotope concentration in sea cores and in sediment cores from the oceans and also in the ice caps. And they can tell exactly what the climate's been doing for millions of years. But the fact is that we, on a short-term timescale, you know, we have to look at recent climate change. And recently we've been in the interglacial, in the Holocene, and we know now that it's getting hotter. We know that there's what they call the man hockey stick of temperature change, which is where the temperature was gradually cooling to go back into an ice age, and then it suddenly shot up over the last sort of 100 years. We know that summers are getting much warmer, and so are winters, and there's generally more sort of rain and wet, windy weather forecast for the UK and the Isle of Man. So there can be no doubt that climate change is real. But the biggest risk that we are facing with regards to the global climate system is the collapse of the Greenland ice sheet. And if that were to collapse, it would result in sea level rising by several metres. And that is enough to inundate Lower Douglas or most of Liverpool, okay, and huge parts of the United Kingdom and Ireland. So we simply do not have the infrastructure to deal with it, nor are we constructing the infrastructure required very fast.
All right. Where do you get the information about the Greenland ice sheet?
Well, I've got a degree in geology, Andy, but apart from that...
Okay, well, all right, for we mere mortals, put it in words of one syllable, what it means.
Well, it means that the sea level could rise by up to 6 metres. It means that the ice flow on the upper parts of the Greenland ice sheet in the middle of Iceland is starting to flow where there's not been any flow previously, and around the edges, the glaciers are surging and they're going much faster. So therefore, it's more likely that it will collapse, and it is predicted to collapse. Possibly even the climate's in a dynamic equilibrium, and it might even collapse. It might even be overdue collapse. It might just be sustained by... There's a lag time for these things because of Earth processes and because by sort of insulation and that sort of thing may sustain its temperature for a prolonged period before collapse. So we don't know whether it's going to collapse or not. But if it does, the sea level will rise by a number of metres, up to 6, and that will inundate large parts of the UK, Ireland and the Isle of Man. What I was going to say, I agree with Bonzo in his opposition to the wind farms that the government wants to see built at Erie Stain and elsewhere. But I think they're unsightly and a threat to birds and a threat to the tourism industry and would reduce the aesthetic appeal of the island, whether onshore or offshore. But as time goes by, technology develops at a faster and faster rate, and they are now in the advanced stages of development of deep earth geothermal, which companies like Deep, spelt DEEP, Deep Earth Energy and Quaise Energy are pioneering in North America. And this technology requires less than 1% of the land needed by wind farms and other sustainable technologies and can be used all over the Earth as it harnesses energy from 20 kilometres depth below the surface of the Earth. That's the around the bottom of the continental crust. So this has to be a way forward for the Isle of Man as well as everywhere else. As opposed to hideous wind farms or unproven Kroger.
So why do you think the government hasn't done something about geothermal? We've been talking about it for, how long since COVID we've talked about geothermal, Adam?
Yeah, well, we've been talking about shallow geothermal, Andy, and although the Isle of Man lies between raised ground temperatures in the Lake District and in County Down in Northern Ireland, and the Isle of Man sits between them. They say the Isle of Man doesn't have, there's no signs from any of the island's springs of warm water coming out, and there's no sign that the Isle of Man has the right sort of tectonic conditions for shallow geothermal. But this, what we're talking about now, is deep geothermal, which reaches down not just a couple of kilometres, 1 or 2 kilometres, but down 20 kilometres to the bottom of the continental crust, and down there it is red hot.
Right.
And that is technology being developed by these companies, by Deep and by Quaise Energy in North America, which is very nearly, it's coming onto the scene, and that is what the Isle of Man needs to be looking for.
Right.
We need to choose the right solution at the right time while accepting that climate change is real.
Right.
And,
so we may get stuck then with out-of-date technology if we put up wind turbines and suddenly in, 20 years, 10 years' time, deep geothermal comes on stream. We may look a bit silly.
Well, we might do, Andy, but I mean, the UK has been investing in wind farms and things for a long time, and it's been hoping that the UK will become, because the UK obviously, as the climate changes, it's due to get windier, and the UK is obviously a really good sort of spot for wind farms and that sort of thing because of the reliability of the wind. So therefore, it's been hoped that the UK will become a net exporter of energy over the next couple of decades, and this will pay for sort of the NHS and everything and the way forward. But obviously, if deep geothermal gets developed, then every country will be able to harness energy that way,
okay.
Because every country can access the lower crust. So, therefore, it may not come to fruition that the UK can export energy. So it is a double-sided sword,
okay.
As is everything else.
Appreciate it. Adam, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us today.
You too, Andy. Take care.
All right, 19 minutes past 12. 318 tells me Tesco sell hot cross buns all the year round. It's not a new thing. They do it all year round. I eat them all the year round. But they were supposed to be for Easter. And again, you can buy hot cross buns all year in M&S, says Mark up north. Everybody's telling me about M&S as well. Crikey, get over the shock. The other thing is Tesco are selling birthday cards, and it's not my birthday for month. Says PTQ. I can't believe it. This morning the butcher shop is selling turkeys, says Tony. Well, there we are. What on earth? I suppose you have to talk about recycling now. That's it, recycling. I've got lots to talk about on recycling. I've got a very big long letter regarding recycling and reusing. And you heard the story about what's happening at Balladool in just north of Ramsey regarding who's running what, and the DOI's paying Ramsey commissioners $50,000. In the meantime, Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear. Address the nation.
Well, good luck to you. I mean, it's World Mental Health Day today. I've got the sporadic COVID 19, unfortunately. But I went down to Holland and Barrett and got my magnesium and vitamin C, so we're not too bad. But it's World Mental Health Day, so I went down to Java Lounge, which had a coffee and cake. You have to buy the drink, which costs £4.09, and then you get a free cake, which is a bit cheeky, but got through it. And it wasn't too bad, to be honest with you. I've got my tissue from it and what have you, so, we had a good day. But there's a cracking advert on BBC at the moment with a little girl who's got a pencil case, and God bless her, you know, a pencil case is full of pencils and rubbers and rulers and set squares and what have you. At the end of it, she goes, well, I'll just bury my anxiety right at the bottom. So, I mean, my heart goes out to that, to be honest, with all the people in class time that are feeling a bit of anxiety with the weather and stuff. So, I mean, it's World Mental Health Day, so I don't know what you think about that, Andy.
Well, it's very important, isn't it? I think October the 10th is always World Mental Health Day. This year's theme, I think, is access to services, mental health in catastrophes and emergencies. It's all about making sure people can get help, even in tough times as well. And again, apparently, they were saying recently, I think it was on The Breakfast Show on Manx Radio today, that some people are getting very worried about world events. Robert.
Oh, really? Well, I think it's a bit too much RT, isn't it? The Russian television today. I mean, I'm on Roku, so I do have a look at Sky now and again, but it's all rubbish. You know, it doesn't really have any community around it. You have to ask, where's the community in it? How does it affect you? And can you contact anyone within it on video call? If you can't do that, then it's obviously some type of scam, right-wing policy or something like that that doesn't really go anywhere. So, I mean, it has to have a community about it. There is mentalhealthforum.net. That's usually quite good. There's something there to latch on to with people who do feel the strain of it. Because it is a struggle at the end of the day. It is a massive struggle to get through mental health. You have to ask, is there a cheaper way of doing the medication or therapy that can provide better results?
Yeah.
So when, I mean, it's things like that.
Robert, when did you get COVID? When? How long have you had it?
I had it since yesterday, but I think I got it in the apple pie at the co-op.
In the apple pie, there we are.
It was in the apple pie at the co-op, and it was used to 90p.
Good.
And this guy said, oh, I'll have one of them. And I said, I'll go on. And
there we are.
I gave it to the birds, so all the birds have got COVID as well.
You take care. Look after yourself, Robert. All right, have a good weekend.
Okay. Have a good one. Bye.
Good to hear from you. It is World Mental Health Day. If you are struggling, you need to talk to somebody, a friend, your GP, one of the support lines that we've got on the Isle of Man. And if you're doing okay, maybe today is the day to check if everybody else is okay. The message, apparently, this year is simple. Mental health is a universal human right. Everybody deserves access to help, no matter who they are or where they live. It is World Mental Health Day today. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. We're on the air through till 1 o'clock today. It's Friday lunchtime. I know, it's Friday.
Ride the trams and trains this autumn. Get discounted travel with 1, 3, 5 or 7 day Go Explore cards. Visit the Isle of Man's heritage sites with the Go Explore Heritage Card, which includes entry into national heritage sites. And enjoy lovely days out to Port Erin, Laxey or Ramsey. For timetables and more great destinations, plan your trips out now at rail.in. Isle of Man Railways.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Man Sea Cadets gives young people the opportunity to take part in recreational water sports and adventure whilst building the skills that equip them for the future. Our cadet experience, delivered with a Royal Naval ethos, is proven to build physical and mental well-being, confidence and lifelong friendships. We're recruiting cadets and volunteers. Get in touch. Search Isle of Man Sea Cadets.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
It's another Radio Caroline North broadcast this weekend, live from our historic radio ship, Ross Revenge. This month, we've tracked down another voice from our offshore days, and this one's not been heard on Caroline for 41 years. Tune in to find out who it is. Our broadcast is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe, and it's on Manx Radio, 1368 AM, smart speakers and DAB, straight after Carnaby Street this Saturday. Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes past 12. Somebody in Foxdale's got the Christmas lights up and on, says Julian. No. Is that true? Christmas lights already? Send us a photo. I mean, stand in a publicly accessible place. Don't go onto the garden or anything. People think only what they're told regarding crypto and finance, says Dave in Ramsey. Chain technology will power the world. The finance industries are now decentralised. Crypto's about self-custody, no middleman. Middle person these days. Everybody can now hold their own keys to a better and more secure future when it comes to their money, says. Have you ever considered cryptocurrency? It's only because the Isle of Man Bankers Association with the Financial Crime Partnership and the Cyber Security Centre are running a campaign, basically, to raise awareness of the rise in the number of crypto scams that have seen people lose their life savings to scammers. Do you really think Lloyds Bank would give a mortgage in Douglas if it's going to flood? Says 112. ShopRite used to sell hot cross buns all the time, and they make a delicious bread and butter pudding, says Renee. Oh, that's a great idea, Renee. You should be a chef. Bread and butter pudding made with hot cross buns. Here's Julian with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you going?
Well,
all right?
It's Friday. I'm happy.
Good, good. Yes, I'm happy too with the good news that the Antarctic has put on so much ice, so many gigatons, that it is now above the average between 1981 and 2024. So there's hope left. And all also, right. I believe Siberia and Russia have had a hell of a cold October, like really bad, unprecedented amounts of snow. And so
where does that information about the Antarctic come from?
Just look it up. It's NASA's own data from the satellite imaging, because, of course, they can see what's going on.
Right. Has it expanded outwards, or has it gone up? What is it?
It's expanded outwards, but, of course, what people don't talk about is that a lot of the concentration of interest is on the centre, what you might say, the centre-north part, I suppose, the bit facing towards South America direction, you might say, because underneath it is a large subsea volcano that is melting the ice from underneath.
Okay.
But when you look at the peninsulas on the sides, they're all growing. So what you've got is you've got colder weather putting more and more snow down, making more ice, but there is some melt from underneath because it's on the Ring of Fire underneath Antarctica, which seems strange. But
It's not threatening the Falkland Islands, is it?
No, it's also, as far as I know, they will be doing the walkout to the Tower of Refuge next year, like they did this year, I would imagine. So I don't think we're in any imminent danger. But I do agree with Adam about geothermal. I think the Isle of Man, especially with the likes of Quaise, with their plasma drilling, where they can use like a super hot circular drill head, so you haven't got all the wear and tear issues.
Yeah.
And I do follow them on LinkedIn, and they are, you know, it's early days yet, but they're certainly getting through some of the issues with getting the rubble out, you might say, in the dust.
Yeah, somebody sent a message in and said that if we get caught with out-of-date technology, I mean, if we do get wind turbines, whether it's the whole host off the East Coast or the ones at Eyre Stain, I think it was Norman sent a note in just to say, we'd be like the person when everybody else is buying DVDs, we'd be the ones with a VHS machine.
Well, you know, it's interesting that wind turbines since 2018, they've increased about 5 or 6% in efficiency, but you lose all that with the fact that the warranty and the repairs are going up. As Professor Gordon Hughes mentioned, the if you look at the empirical data from the likes of Vestas, their repair bills and their, you know, like re-chamfering the blades and everything is getting worse, because as they're getting larger, it's a bit like, you know, if you have a normal car, If you go too fast and you get in a Formula One car, you do one lap and the thing's knackered and you've got to redo everything. So they're finding they're moving so fast with the length of the blades that it's having an adverse effect on all the stretching within the polymers. The gearboxes are failing earlier. So all the gains that they say about the efficiency gains in these turbines, which isn't a great deal, but it's being reversed by the fact you've got to turn them off so often for all the repairs.
If only we had a time. Yeah. If only we had a time machine and we could go forward and see what's the best way to do all this.
Well, I do like the idea of geothermal and the fact that we're on the Iapetus suture, which goes, you know, right across the Atlantic through Ireland, where they're doing loads of geothermal testing at the moment, and then right across. I mean, you know, the likes of Buxton, for example. I mean, you know, they've got like hot water baths there since Roman times.
Oh yeah,
times.
Yeah,
there's
it's a spa town, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrosian last night.
Oh, how was it?
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of people. A few people turned up from Manx Care, including the CEO, which is a good thing. I was talking to some of the people there. A lady collapsed right after injection, totally healthy before, has now got diabetes onset. It's not exactly what you'd call life-threatening, but one of the things that they've all said is that ever since they've had them in 2021, they have a dry, persistent cough, and it comes and goes. But when you have it, boy, it's really annoying, apparently. It's very, very hard to maintain conversations without, you know, coughing that dry, persistent cough.
Yeah.
And they were all saying that. There's a guy in his 20s, has a new heart condition, which is suspected to be myocarditis. I also spoke to a woman. Right after it, she got very ill, and she ended up going across for specialist treatment. She's now got autoimmune problems, especially with her liver. And she's on autoimmune drugs for the rest of her life, and she was fine before, you know, good walker and all the rest of it. And I noticed that Pfizer's own report, if anybody looks for the Pfizer post-marketing experience document, you'll notice from about page, I think it's page 30 onwards, there are over 1,200 known side effects during the 2020 8 weeks of testing and whatever they were doing previously to that. And in that list, there are 29 separate hepatic-related or liver-related serious side effects.
So when's the next bit? In your shoes meeting, Julian?
You read my mind, Andy. I was just about to say that. it's Thursday, 16th of October, which will be next week, I think, at Kiel Darry, which I think is on the right-hand side as you go into Nobles towards the car park at the roundabout,
right
in front of Nobles. And that is between 6 and 7.30 in the evening next Thursday, 16th October.
Okay. And for new listeners, jump on here. This is In Your Shoes, which is people who say they've been damaged to their health because of COVID vaccinations. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely
and
correct.
Did anybody address the elephant in the room, Julian? Did anybody say, you know, this could be a giant coincidence?
Well, you know, I've noticed there's this argument about the fact that people can fill in the yellow card system, and they're trying to be sort of a bit disparaging, saying, oh, well, you know, I can fill it out and say I've grown three heads or whatever. But if there's 837 of them on the Isle of Man that's known on that FOI I mentioned the other day, I mean, what is this argument that there's hundreds of people that just decide to go and create a login and go through the pages and pages of technical questions to say, you know, you've got this particular condition and this and that and the other just for devilment? And most of those yellow cards are known to be put in by doctors and nurses who know what they're doing. They know how to go through it because they do it every day. So I don't buy into the argument that the yellow card system is like that. And if it is true, from the other side of it, let's suppose it's true that anyone can fill out a yellow card system, then we've got an even worse problem because we don't have a fit for purpose early warning system.
What was the mood of the meeting like?
Earnest, I'd say. I think they feel perhaps that people are finally starting to listen, and a lot of people stay quiet with this because, you know, it's it's not a nice thing to have to share with things and strangers and stuff. But there's some brave people that are coming forward now. Nikki was the first one. I seem to remember she rang into you quite a while ago talking about this.
So did Teresa Cope say anything, or was she just watching?
Watching most of the time, but it was in between two rooms, so I was sort of bouncing between the two rooms, just getting some, because there was so many people turned up, they had to use two rooms. So it was quite well patriated, Andy, I tell you. So I think it needs to be really taken seriously.
Okay, so Thursday, next Thursday, 16th, Kildare. What, again, 6:15 again, is it, or 6:30?
6 o'clock, this
oh,
one.
Is it?
It's
right.
6 o'clock, and it's a bit of a longer one. It's 6 until 7:30.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Julian. Have a good weekend.
You too, mate. Thanks.
Okay, why does the government, says 785, build premises like Balladool, nursing homes and what have you, and then refuse to run them? These are a necessity and should be staffed by government workers, not run privately for a profit, says Marie. Well, the news is the Northern Infrastructure, the Northern Civic Community site, won't be run by the Department of Infrastructure. They say that's just not going to happen. Ramsey Commissioners has been operating Balladool, the Northern Civic Community site, on behalf of the DOI following its potential closure in April earlier this year. Do you remember? It was Bride Commissioners who didn't want to put their share in. Michelle Haywood, MHK, says if none of the Northern authorities wants to take Balladool on, the department will put the site out to tender for private contractors.
As an interim measure, Ramsey agreed to provide the management of the site for a period of 1 year. That contract comes up at the end of this financial year, and we need somebody to take over managing the site. So our initial step was to write to all of the Northern authorities and to ask them if they were interested in stepping up and taking over the site and the management of the site, because we thought that was the most sensible option. It's how the other sites are all run, is by local authorities providing those management services. In the event that that doesn't transpire and that none of the Northern boards are comfortable to do it, our plan is to go out to procurement, and so we'll go and find somebody to run the site. Ramsey have told us that they don't want to continue doing it after this financial year, so we need somebody else to operate it, and obviously then we'll be looking to recover the cost of that from the local authorities, because it is something that is charged for in people's rates.
What consideration then has been given from the department about taking on the site itself? Have you even considered that as an option at all?
Well, we currently have the site. Whether we could put operatives in there to do it, I don't have the staff to put in somebody to manage the site and the operatives to be there on site and to get the site up and fully running, including things like the reuse centre. We just haven't got the staff to do that. So it will be a contract that we need to put out. But we are in the throes of working out what that procurement exercise looks like, and we'll be going out to tender for that.
So what is the DOI hoping will be the final outcome of the saga then? Is it that the local authorities come together and figure out themselves? What do you want the final outcome to be?
I would rather that the local authorities got together, got the committee back together again and agreed how they were going to run it and how they're going to fund the site. I would rather that the DOI wasn't involved at all. However, we are taking the responsible position that it's not acceptable to leave that whole slice of the island without any access to an amenity site.
What do you think about this? I mean, recycling is part of the government project, isn't it? Recycling, reusing, things like that. The Civic Community site in Balladool, currently underwritten, as it were, by the DOI. They're putting £50,000 into it. But dear me, something somewhere's got to happen, hasn't it? Oh, thank you, Ryan, as well. We're going very heavy on the hot cross buns today, and this is a great tip. What a great tip. You could make a TV show out of this. Ryan said, hot cross buns make excellent ham and pickle sandwiches. Hot cross bun, ham and pickle. Now, how does that tickle your fancy at lunchtime, eh? It is World Mental Health Day today, and the Isle of Man Samaritans has been receiving calls from people concerned about the current global events. And the charities say that they're there for anybody who's struggling with issues any time of day or night. Samaritans have been on Man in Line. Do you remember we did that program on people with suicidal tendencies? Samaritans are hosting a volunteer recruitment afternoon. If you think you could become an Isle of Man Samaritan, then they'd like to meet you. Windsor Coffee House. That's just next to Lochprom Methodist Church, isn't it? It's above theirs. Is it above Paparazzi? I think it is above Paparazzi. The Windsor Coffee House, Saturday, 25th of October. So that's going to be in what? Fortnight's time, fortnight tomorrow, Windsor Coffee House, Saturday, 25th of October, 2 till 4, if you want to consider volunteering for Isle of Man Samaritans. They'd like to hear from you. Get in touch, and if you've got any more hot cross bun recipes, gratefully received.
Discover the work of the man who could paint the wind at the world's largest exhibition of works by Archibald Knox, right here on display at the Manx Museum. Featuring exquisite jewellery, pewterware, paintings, manuscripts and furniture from collections across the British Isles. Visit Knox Order and Beauty every day from 9:30 till 4:30 at the Manx Museum. Discover more Knox-themed events at manxnationalheritage.im.
Not ready to say goodbye to summer sunshine? Book a direct winter sun holiday with flights to Tenerife departing Ronald's Way from November to February. Book flights from only £499 per person return or a complete holiday package and look forward to a relaxing break. No stress, no stops, just more time to enjoy the sun and unwind. Visit flydirect.co.uk to book now with a low deposit.
Jump on Groundhall Glen Railway's family-friendly, not-so-scary Hop to Nay train this October 25th or 26th and travel to see Ginny the Witch in her lair. Includes train travel, refreshments and a children's gift from Ginny. Booking essential. Visit gtr.org.uk.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123 at manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
17 minutes before one. Comin, says Gaz, are considering the Orsted Wind Farm scheme. They must know how much per kilowatt hour we're going to pay, and they should tell us. Maybe then we'll support the plans. It's all down to the money, Gaz, I think. I may eventually paint 29p per kilowatt hour on the Tower of Refuge. Then everybody will know. Surely they know. Surely they know they'll be... I mean, even a ballpark figure, just to say it's going to be below 40p or could be as little as 15. Because really, when it comes to the money... thank you, Harry, who dropped a note in. You said, we'll be stuck playing DVDs. Oh, we'll be stuck with a VHS when everybody's playing DVDs. No, we'll still have a VHS when they're downloading. Andy is an avid recycler, says M. There's no way I'm taking plastic and burnable waste to St John's or Douglas if they close Balladool. The government needs to decide what's important, the ability to recycle locally or our carbon footprint. Can't have it both ways. Just regarding the... I've got a note in regarding... we'll get to Dewan first, and then I'll read this thing out about a COVID injury. Dewan's first with us now. Hello, Dewan.
Andy, how are you?
Well, it's Friday. I'm fine.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Just on a couple of points there. Let's address the cockcross buns first, and it wouldn't be right not to, would it? But geez, a theory for you now. I mean, the religion is fading away. They're trying to do away with Christianity, so it's just a product now. It's not a seasonal. I mean, it's like Christmas is Christmas, Easter stuff was Easter, but you know, now they're deaf, or they're trying to kill off Christianity. It's just a product.
So I wonder how many people who buy hot cross buns identify that as a Christian symbol. I wonder how many do nowadays.
Yeah, and that's the point of it, isn't it? You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things happening with, and I don't want to get into the conversation of religion too deep, because everyone has their own feelings on it. But you don't see Judaism or Islam failing at the moment, but there's a certain massive push on pushing Christianity out of the forefront. That's for sure. I think in Nigeria at the moment, they're having a massacre of Christians.
Oh well, yeah, Boko Haram aren't doing anybody any favours there. On the Isle of Man, the Roman Catholic Church has done very well out of, certainly the Filipino population, the Eastern European population. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church is doing very well on the island.
It is. And again, this is from people from other nations that are supporting their faiths. Whereas the English people seem to be pushed upon to make them feel bad about their Christianity and the damage that it's done over the years. It seems to be that, the way that I can see things. Anyway, besides that, I didn't really get too bogged down on that. I was interested in what Julian reported from the meeting last night about Manx care and people talking about the effects that they're having. And there is a lot. And it is right. And there's a video out at the moment. I think Andy Birchall has put a video out expressing that this is the time for people to actually come out and speak. This is the time, this is the moment for people to come out and voice their opinions about it, as Manx care are speaking and listening. This has come from people who are in these meetings. The correlation of vertigo with people, the only correlation that they can come out with is the vaccination. So there is problems and it needs speaking about. And I'm just from people who are in the meetings. But the other point I need to ask as well is, does Manx care actually have to go through the same process as we would have to do to get proper data from the UK? Because I believe they have to actually put in FOI requests to get proper file data on vaccine injuries. And I don't know whether you can actually follow that up, maybe, or head of news can follow that up. It seems to be a problem for the Isle of Man getting the actual correct data. So maybe something there that you can follow up. Another point, you're talking about Mental Health Day as well. And I believe from the prison that they're not really dealing with mental health issues with prisoners down there correctly. And there's a lot of problems with mental health. So maybe that's another investigation that could be looked into as to what treatment the prisoners are getting with mental health issues down there while they're locked up. Mm. And my last point, just before I go, Andy, geothermal, and listening to Adam talking there, and I didn't agree with his first point about the farming. We've had farming for hundreds and hundreds of years. I think the tectonic plates, I believe, are warming up underneath. So the warming's coming from inside and underneath rather than on the top level. Again, totally agree with geothermal. Spoke about on this program for many, many years now about geothermal. And I do think that's the way to go. I'm glad Adam is on board with that. I do think that the wind turbines is old technology. Someone's making a fortune out of it. And as I always say, follow the money trail.
Okay.
Geothermal would be ours. It would be ours. It could turn this island around. And maybe someone somewhere doesn't want that because it would be ours.
All right.
Cheers, okay. Andy.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us today. Regarding the health and the vaping debate you were talking about yesterday, says Simon, about the fact that formaldehyde forms inside some of these vapes. That's what you embalm people with. It's mainly linked to dodgy vapes imported from China, the formaldehyde. That's why the UK government stopped imports using contaminated glycol. And it would be a good idea to have a representative from Ramsey Town Commissioners on your programme to answer questions from the public about why they're no longer willing to run the civic community site. Too late, unfortunately. Ewan McGuinness was on earlier on this week. This is Tim. Thank you, Tim, who said, just listening to Ewan, I've been very sick for about 4 years now. I thought I'd put a timeline together with this. Now, this is Tim who sent this information. Tim on 466. March 2021, I had a first shot of Pfizer. June 2021, second shot of Pfizer. August 21, had an eye stroke. October 21, angina. November 21, pneumonia. November 21, heart attack. Then two more in hospital. May 2022, fourth heart attack. May 2022, bypass grafts. Three of them. Make of that what you will. Well, it's interesting, these In Your Shoes sessions, as you heard Julian say, the next one is next week. It's Kildare, isn't it? It's Wednesday next week at 7:30. Thursday the 16th, Kildare, 6 o'clock. That will be, sounds like it was a packed house in Port Erin last night. Alice is on now. Hello, Alice.
Hi. I'll try and keep this quick because you're getting near the end. Okay, so there's three separate things I have an opinion on this. Your man was talking about people getting vertigo after COVID jabs. Yeah. It might be dysautonomia, or it might be POTS, which is basically your nervous system can't react to changes in blood pressure anymore. So people, like when they stand up, they get really dizzy and things like this. Can be treated. But yeah, it's just if someone's got a mild case of it, they might want to look up POTS, P-O-T-S. And I'm part of this online group, because I've still got a bit of long COVID, called the Susie Bolt Programme. They've got like free... they've got some free stuff on YouTube, and it's like £9 a week for a load of different classes. It's really, really good, and it helps a lot of people. It's basically all yoga, breathwork, mindset, stuff like that. So I'd recommend that. The other thing is geothermal. Could be great in 10 years, but we know wind works now. Do you know what I mean? The only reason I would say not to have wind is you don't like the look of it, or maybe there's technical issues, but in theory, we've got a fantastic resource. It would be mental not to use it. Mm. And then the wind speeds that have been measured are like really high up there, so it's like free money.
Yeah,
it's
the trouble is
money if you don't use it.
At some point, Alice, you have to turn the things off. You feather them. Once it goes above a certain speed, they can't. Otherwise, they just whiz around and burn out and fly off.
Yeah. But I checked last year in the UK. I think it was it 30% or 40% of all electricity came from wind. Do you know what I mean? I think it was 30%. They got more electric coming from wind than coming from gas last year.
Yeah.
Even if it's not all the time, cumulatively over the year, it's like a significant chunk. And the third thing was, your man was just implying that somehow the Christians are being persecuted and forced not to practice Christianity. The churches are all there. If people want to go on Sunday, nobody is stopping them.
Yeah. He was talking about happening in Africa, certainly in Nigeria.
Yeah, but I think I got the impression he was sort of implying it's in the UK and here as well. But obviously, Boko Haram are bad. But then you've got to look back at the history, and a lot of these Islamic movements are actually set up by... Western, it's like the Americans are actually building Islamic schools in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, Alice, let me tell you.
Socialism. Hang on. They thought it was a counterweight to the Soviet Union, so they were boosting up Islamic politics.
Let me tell you, in the 1970s, Islam was very trendy. I mean, that's why Cat Stevens converted to Islam. So I had a couple of bosses who were Muslims, absolutely fantastic guys, and could cook far better than I could.
Well, that's it, I mean, there's extremes in all religions, but it's interesting that extreme Islam was boosted in the past by Western, and then they call it blowback. It's like training up Osama bin Laden to fight the Russians in Afghanistan or whatever. And then, comes around and bites you on the bum, basically.
That was a James Bond film, The Living Daylights. It was how the British Secret Service supported the Islamic fight back in Afghanistan when the Russians were there.
It's like all them videos you used to see on the news of some brave Mujahideen fellow with a rocket launcher over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, who took the video and who gave it to them? Who gave them the rocket launcher? It's like quite, I don't know. Yeah, it's just quite interesting. It seems like a really, must have been a good idea at the time.
Yeah, okay. All right. Alice, how's your long COVID going?
It's improving slowly. I'm still not back to where I was, but it's a lot better than it was.
And what is it? Breathlessness or fatigue, or what is it?
It's mostly fatigue and then some other symptoms, which I don't want to get into, yeah.
All right. Have a good weekend.
But, yeah, you too, yeah.
Good to hear from you. We should ask John Rhys-Davies about this, because John Rhys-Davies, wasn't he in The Living Daylights? All about the Mujahideen and how James Bond went to help the Mujahideen to get rid of the Russians in Afghanistan. I'm confused, says Steve. Are the Manx Care events being held for those who feel they may have suffered some side effects from a vaccine to go and have a talk, or are they for unaffected and unqualified anti-vaxxers to go along and espouse their views on others? Well, pop along and find out, Steve. I think it's the Manx Care ones are for people who have... think they've got problems. And remember, for ages and ages and ages, nothing was said about this. Nothing was said. It was kind of, not quite, but we're almost in tinfoil hat brigade. A few years ago, probably just after my 2021 COVID injection, I suffered a transient ischemic attack, a TIA, a mini stroke. As a consequence, stopped taking my psychiatric medicine, which in itself was a result of wild living as a teenager. So thank you for that information. If you want more information about this, as I mentioned, the In Your Shoes next one's Kildare in Douglas, 6 o'clock next Thursday, the 16th. And more messages to get through before I leave you. And this one says, excuse me, I'm just going to find this one. And it is more hot cross bun recipes. Thank you for that. Rambo helped the Mujahideen as well. Ah, it's Sylvester Stallone's fault, is it? Imagine if the criteria was people turning up to say they were ill, says Si. Are you going, Si? Then do tell us all about it. A message in from Dennis, who just said, surely geothermal is something that the Isle of Man should be looking at. If we find ourselves in 20 years' time with 80 wind turbines off the East Coast and suddenly a technology comes along, what will everybody do? They'll blame the government. So nothing new there. We didn't get to the cryptocurrency thing. We'll do that on Monday. And on Tuesday, Joni Farragher and Laurie Hooper in Party Leaders Inside Tin. Well, that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Have a great weekend.
WINT